Hello, hello. This is producer Ben, and I just wanted to come on real quick and ask that if you could please leave us a dollar or two in the old tip jar at thequestatlanta.com. It helps us out a ton. It helps keep the lights on here at AM 1160, here at Honest to God, and we'd really appreciate it. You can do your little Catholic tithe. Helps us out. Helps you out. Spiritually? Probably. All right. Thanks so much. Enjoy the show.
AM 1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
Hello, this is JJ, and on this episode of Honest to God, we dive into film and TV to talk about the good, the bad, and the Catholic.
When it comes to Catholic portrayals, from Cinderella Man to The Last of Us, Catholic imagery is used constantly in modern media. But is this imagery being used to glorify our faith? Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.
Izatuma! That's not Rocky.
That's...
I know it's not Rocky, but I love Rocky.
I thought you said Carrot Top. Very different. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Hello and welcome. Super pumped to be here today. You are listening to Honest to God on AM 1160, The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Going to have a great day today. Really pumped. We got a lot of people who know what they're doing already. No prep time required. We got JJ. We got Mackenzie. We got Annie. Still doing the same thing from last week's episode, which is weird, but here we are. And we got
so
Thomas Clements, as always. I live in studio, Annie, so it's not weird. Plus, I wore something really understated that you wouldn't be able to tell I was wearing again, like this houndstooth jacket.
It's a nice jacket.
Thanks, man. As always, we got Ben, producer Ben, rocking. You know what did I say last time? Tickling the keys. Over there.
They're laughing.
And then we got, we may or may not have show notes, Benny, over there in the dark, dark, never ending recesses, like the minds of Moriah off to my right. So,
of Mariah?
Is it Moriah?
Moria.
I always pronounce it Moriah too, though.
I'm sorry.
Mine's Mariah.
I've only read it.
Lord like Rings. Mariah Carey.
I've only read it.
Nope, that's not
Mariah. Mine's of Mariah Carey.
I also always pronounce it Galadriel, and I find out that it's Galadriel.
I got made fun of by a ninth grader for pronouncing Galadriel's name wrong.
Really?
And it's what? How do they?
What a cool knife! It's I think it's Galadriel.
Galadriel. Yeah. I called her Galadriel.
Galadriel. Galadriel. That makes sense.
And, okay, this is actually
that's
a really
ridiculous.
Good segue.
Wow.
Because today's episode, we are talking about Catholic portrayals in
books.
Film and movies. We might do a little bit of Lord of the Rings.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
We're doing a whole Lord of the Rings episode coming up
at some point. Yeah, so, we got to get the Hodge sisters back in here
that
for that
awesome.
One.
Mm-hmm.
We guys got to get Hodge sisters back in here. Period.
Well, it's been too long.
They are gone. I met them at a friend of ours. Had a cookout not too long ago, and
really?
I saw them like in the wild. It was
that's
weird.
So they exist.
Yeah.
Outside of
they
this?
Do.
Yeah.
Exist.
Once they pass through that door, they still are corporeal beings.
Wow.
Which was news to me.
It's exciting.
But yeah, great girls. So let's do this real quick. Let's knock it out. One fun fact apiece, starting with Mackenzie, and then we'll get started on the
okay.
show.
Okay. My fun fact is that I have met Hank Aaron.
Whoa. No way.
Yes, I was like 1.5.
That's legit.
So yeah, apparently he owned a car dealership in Atlanta, or a couple, I guess. But my parents were there, and me and my brother were twins, and we were like 1.5, and we both ran in opposite directions all of a sudden. And I ran down a hallway straight into his office.
Cool.
Yeah.
That is
Did
awesome.
He like talk to you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess my mom like was following me, and then she said we were like down on the ground, and she looked up and I looked up at the same time, and he was like standing up, and he was like, "Hi there, little lady."
That's
and then
really
he like
cool.
came out.
That's amazing.
Who is this?
You Hank Aaron. Come on, man. Hank Aaron. He held the home run record. He beat Babe Ruth's
oh,
record.
Yeah, that's why I don't know him.
755.
It's a sports thing.
Yeah.
Ben's really good with computers, though.
Really good with computers. I tickle computers all the time.
Ladies, if you don't like sports, but you're into computers, give Ben Barron a call. You can reach out to him. We've got his email down below in the show notes. JJ, what you got?
As of last week, I'm a professional singer of Happy Birthday.
I really want to hear more about that. Or
Sing
would you rather
birthday.
Just leave it?
I there's more. There's okay. more if you want to hear.
JJ
want
is
more.
Really okay. good at clickbaiting us.
I would like to know.
No, it's not clickbait. So, my friend, I was up
but
in,
make sure that you like and subscribe if you want to hear JJ tell us.
You need to. They need to, they need to subscribe to the paywall before they get to see
yeah,
the rest
so
of
it.
Also, he has to sing happy
like
birthday
button.
For us,
I
right?
Hear it.
Sure Are you going to pay me? I can't go back to doing it for free after getting paid.
Oh.
Here's what happened.
Can we do a short of it? Because we do shorts now.
Oh, we could. We could.
And yeah, we also do a short of, we got a short for Thank You for Being a Friend coming up. It's happened.
Well, waiting for it.
All right, I'm
he's
sorry.
Not, he's not paying attention. He's
no, yeah. So I was up in Ohio recently at Franciscan University visiting some okay. of my friends up there. And my friend Murphy plays, so he's playing guitar. So he's doing a gig for St. Patty's Day. And I was going around like heckling people to give him money, basically. And someone wanted him to sing happy birthday because it was their birthday. And I told him to, but he didn't. So next time I came around to ask them for more money, they weren't feeling happy about it. And I said, here, I will sing you happy birthday in return for a generous donation. And I sung it and I got a generous donation.
How much money was it?
I think it was like $5.
Heck yeah.
But
after getting a few bucks from them already.
Dude, you break that down hourly though, and that's killer money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Dang. I like it. Thomas, what you got?
Okay. I one time swam and then kayaked in the Sea of Galilee.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's really cool. Yeah. No way. Yeah. In the Holy Land?
In the Holy Land.
After our trip?
No, this was in 2016. I went with my dad.
You went back.
I went back.
So you remember how you missed it with us? And you said like you felt this connection with Moses that was like you'll never see the Holy Land.
Yeah.
You like read that in scripture the day before you had kidney failure or something crazy. Isn't that true?
That's true. I thought I would never see it again. And then my dad was like, hey, I'm going to the Holy Land. I was like, oh, I want to come. And so I went with.
I'm so glad you got that.
It was awesome.
No longer Moses.
Yeah.
No longer Moses. That's actually a band name that I just came up with right now. To call ourselves that. So we went and we climbed this mountain across. It was in Magdala, where Mary Magdalene is from. And
what a coincidence.
I climbed Mount Arbel, which is across the street. And then we came down and we got in the water and we swam around.
That's
and
so cool. That's
it was
really cool. Did you swim in the Dead Sea? That was the only cool
thing. I didn't swim in the Dead Sea. It was too far away. But
I got not in trouble, but sort of frustrated. The people in charge.
You still wanted it. There were pictures of your face all over.
It was so easy to swim that I just started going. And I think it was, is it Jordan on the other side of the Dead Sea? Like, not the Jordan River, but the country of Jordan from Israel. Anyway, I started swimming. And I swam for like 45 minutes just because it's so easy. You can't sink, right? Yeah. You're so buoyant.
Really? Yeah.
Because
of all the salt. And so you just rest when you're tired. And I just went and went and went and went until like people were little dots over on our beach.
What? Oh, you really swam out there.
And then I realized like that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
The other shore was not getting any closer. And I swam back and I got a talking to when I came back.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like 19.
Was it easy to swim in?
It's so easy to swim.
Oh, okay.
You're just on top of it the whole time. You move super fast.
That's
so
cool.
You feel like a duck. You feel like you got way more buoyancy than you're supposed to have. And it's cool.
That's cool.
All right, Annie, what you got?
Everyone says this is crazy, but my dream, also another dream of mine, last episode I talked about my dream of having a farm. I want to have triplets. I think it'd be fun to have triplets.
You would be gigantic.
Right? No, I know, that's what everyone says.
You're such a tiny person.
But just for like the coolness factor of like having triplets.
For those of you who are listening, Annie is 3.5 feet tall, weighs about 37 pounds.
Yeah. I don't know. Whenever I meet triplets, I'm like, that's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
And so, I might never sleep again. And I might be gigantic. Yeah. But, I'd
They'll
be cool.
Grow up.
You know
They'll
what I mean?
Yeah.
Children are a blessing.
No, that would be super cool.
And I could build them a triple crib. Like our triple bunk bed
you
that we have.
Is that
yourself?
What you're supposed to do with triplets?
Yes.
It's like stacked milk crates.
Stacked cribs.
Like the chickens on the trucks.
Yeah,
like crates.
That. But with your infants. Yeah, okay.
Now, would you build it? Is that what you said?
Or well,
would you
no, Dan I would probably build it. Would. Dan would build me a triple crib.
Okay.
Dan, if you're out there.
Yeah. Get on it.
Wow. Get on it. Okay.
Yeah. If you're out there.
No, that's pretty good. Angie's pregnant right now and she's finally starting to show, but she's really frustrated because she's in the I just look like I have a beer belly stage of pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And so she wears almost exclusively a Does This Baby Make Me Look Fat shirt. So everybody knows that she's actually pregnant.
Does she actually have a shirt that says that?
Yeah, she has a shirt that says this baby make me look fat.
That's great.
Yeah, she wears a lot. All right. So before we jump into today's topic, which is Catholic representation in television and film, somebody needs to kick us off in prayer. Any volunteers? You got it, Mr.
Let's do
Mr.
it.
Mr. Thomas.
All right. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. We want to participate in what you're doing. God, you are so good. We thank you for our lives, for our friends, for our time here together, for our family, for everything, Lord. You have abundantly blessed us, and we thank you for this. And we ask that you guide our conversation together, that we may I pull out some good points that help others, that help us, that we can really help portray this message and bring about some good remarks that lead people to you. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
You You have a really good prayer voice.
Oh, thank you.
You should, Hollow should call you out. Yeah, I would. I go to sleep most nights with Father Mike Schmidt reading me a bedtime story called the Old Testament of the Bible, and it's pretty great.
That's a good book. I think about that.
It's kind of intense though, from time to time.
Yeah. I prefer the New Testament version.
Do you?
Yeah.
You like the sequel?
Yeah, the sequel. Good. I'm more of a sequel than the prequel.
How do you feel about all that fan fiction that came out later, like the Book of Mormon and stuff like that? It's not canon, but it's
Annie's favorite book, actually.
Exposed on.
Have you read it?
No, I haven't.
I ironically asked for a Book of Mormon and a Quran for Christmas one year because I wanted to read it, right? Yeah. I was getting into it, and it's interesting stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not true. I'm not lending it credence, but it is interesting. It's just interesting to sort of get into that mindset and understand it a little bit better. So it's cool. All right. Let's talk about Catholic portrayals in movies and television. We've been talking, this works its way into a lot of episodes that we do, but we haven't done an episode where we focus on this specifically. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're going to get a lot of traction out of negative Catholic portrayals. I'd love to open it up to positive Catholic portrayals, especially like deep cut stuff that we don't think of a lot. I mean, we can all talk about Father Stu all day long. We can get into a lot of those, but I'm curious if anybody has got a really positive, like, well-done portrayal of Catholicism in popular media just, I don't know, over the last couple decades.
Have you guys seen Father Stu?
Great. We can talk about Father Stu for sure because it is...
I was telling Janice outside. So it's not explicitly Catholic. There is some, you know, Catholic elements in it, and it's not a movie either. It's a series. My favorite... Like anything out of anything like filmed, it's my favorite. It's The Band of Brothers.
Yeah.
And there are just so many. I'm sorry.
Annie, obviously,
I didn't mean to do that.
We're filming this at 3 a.m.
Never mind.
Annie's back from a hard day at the farm.
I'm totally kidding. I like being, like, making jokes about people. So sorry. But yeah. And so it's for those of you who don't know, Band of Brothers was, you know, put together, I think, in 2001. It was produced by Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg, who did Saving Private Ryan. And so then they got together and they wanted to put together this portrayal of, you know, the warriors, the soldiers who were present in World War II from the invasion of Normandy all the way up to the fall of Germany when they surrendered. And so they put this together and they talked to the guys who were really there. They based all the characters off of real, you know, soldiers who were present. They interviewed them. They asked them their thoughts, their feelings, and just spectacular stories, you know, came out of this. And so you see, maybe not, you know, someone, you see some prayer, but you know, it's not like, hey, this person's going to mass. Although that there's a scene of that too, which is cool. But and I'll get to that in a second because that is cool. But like, you see them like, okay, this is how we handle fear. All right, you know, this is, you know, the love that I'm sharing with my fellow, you know, soldier. They're like sacrificing for each other, like,
right?
Sharing, like, I know this is gonna sound weird, but like, hey, you know, this is my last cigarette, but let's split it, you know, right. Type of thing. Yeah. You know, it's like really, really true love. And then there's one remarkable scene where they just invaded this small French town, and you know, they're German soldiers shooting at them everywhere. And there's the two main characters, Lewis Nixon and Dick Winters, who are like in charge, one of the ranking officers. And they're like talking and they look over and there's this Catholic priest. And this has to have been true because they really tried to tell true stories in this, you know, who's just going from like fallen soldier to soldier, giving them last rites.
Cool.
And bullets are flying everywhere.
Yeah.
It's such a powerful, powerful scene. And then, yeah, then they do go to mass, you know, in the battlefield, you know, like maybe not while there's active fighting, but you know, you see them like out in the woods. It's cool.
Well, this is not really a hot take because I think I've talked about this before on the show, but I find that the best portrayals of Christianity and art are the ones that are not explicitly Christian, right?
Exactly.
Where it's like, no, these are just acts of goodness and virtue.
Yeah,
are reflections of God because God is goodness, right? And it seems like so much messaging gets shoved into our face with so many things nowadays that gets lost. But you look at, I mean, when I think about movies that don't have any religious, like overt religious context, I think about a ton of movies that were made a long time ago. They're just trying to make good films.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Sergeant York. That's a great one. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's World War II. And then he comes back home and there's all these themes of self-sacrifice and love of man and laying down your life for your brothers and all these things,
powerful.
Which are overtly, totally and completely, objectively Christian, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we can pretend like they're not, but they absolutely are. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
War movies are usually pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so many scenes in war movies, I feel like, with like them sitting in the chapel before or like pulling out their crucifix to kiss it.
Yeah.
I feel like lots of times people use Catholicism because it's very clear. It's very clear. So like having someone pull out a crucifix, it's just like, oh, okay. And it gives so much gravity to the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just war movies, like that's what we're doing. So when you see a Catholic person in a war movie, it's like the spiritual war they're fighting, but also the physical war they're fighting.
I just rewatched The Patriot the other night with my son, which is one of my top five favorite movies.
I still need to see it. I saw the trailer for it. The trailer is my favorite movie right now.
It's so good. But that's the same thing. There's all of the, and there is a church in there. There's this, there's a preacher who goes off to fight the British with them and all of these things. But most of it isn't in your face. Most of it is just sort of underlying. And it's this story of all of this loss that this man is experiencing. Mm-hmm. And he's sort of redeemed himself from these bad things he'd done in his past, and then this sort of comeback during the war. Mm-hmm. And he's got this struggle. He's raising these children. And there are all these just beautiful themes. And I hate to be, I always feel like an old fogey when I say this, but you don't see it that often anymore. And it's so cool when you do, right? It's amazing.
Yeah.
The mid-80s to the late 90s, those were like the pinnacle, I think, of good movies in general. Mm-hmm. What you got, Mackenzie?
I don't really have any movies that are like not necessarily like they don't, like they say that they're Catholic, so it's just like good Catholic movies.
Right.
So it's not necessarily like popular secular movies that are like have little bits and pieces. But one of my favorite Catholic movies is Fatima.
Yeah.
And I love that movie, and I think it's really beautiful, and like Marian apparitions and that kind of thing, because I don't know, they just blow my mind. Yeah.
Fatima is a very interesting film because of how slow it is.
Right.
It is incredibly slow. Slow burn. But it is, the payoff is immense, and it draws you in. And if you're able to, it completely breaks the mold of like the modern being super flashy, in your face all the time, always have to be going, always have to like, we can't stay in a slow scene because if we do that for too long, people are going to click off the movie. It completely does away with all of that so that it can tell a great story and be in these moments and last in them and really hold in them. It's something that we were saying in the art, the episode all about like art, was that like staying in the beauty of it and staying in that. And it does such a great job of just holding on those moments for just a little longer than we're comfortable with. But out of that comes these beautiful images.
Yeah.
I don't know if this counts as an overtly Catholic film or not, but it won Best Picture Award in 1960-something, so I think it's worth throwing out there. A Man for All Seasons was the last time I watched that.
Yeah, I was like 7th grade.
It's so good. It is so good.
See, I need to rewatch that one.
Yeah, if you watched it last time in 7th grade, you have nothing but bad memories.
I watched it for school. For school.
Yeah,
so there's like not anything I wanted to watch.
That's the worst.
And the other day, Daniel was like, that's like such a good movie. You should watch that. I was like,
it's so good.
But I trust you. I should watch it again.
You should watch it with fresh eyes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love watching, like, and it's been years going back and watching a movie that you haven't seen in a while. It's always, like, way better than you remember.
Well, all those movies that were, like, boring grown up movies when you were a kid, when you watch them as an adult, they, like, blow your mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, you said it, and I was thinking about it. And that's why I was thinking about it, because Ben was talking about movies being slow. And I was like, you know what's a good slow movie?
You have to pay attention to things like dialogue, so you don't like it when you're a kid. But it's
that's
just
hilarious.
I'm all about it. Oh, another one, because I really like Mel Gibson. I keep throwing those out. Braveheart, y'all.
Oh,
one
so
of the
good.
Most Catholic movies ever.
So good.
You've never seen Braveheart?
I've never seen Braveheart. Ladies. I've never seen, what'd you say, Patriot?
Wow. The Patriot, y'all. Come on.
I haven't seen like any like,
have you seen,
oh, I'm a man.
Have movies. You seen Father Stu?
I've seen Father Stu.
Okay, she's got everything.
No, good. But any movie that's like, man, war.
Yeah, okay, but that's but the like, thing. That's not what it is.
Though. I don't know what
they're
it
not
is,
man war movies.
Because like what I'm over here watching is like Mamma Mia, and
okay, it is the
Tinkerbell Diaries, and Kenzie and I recently watched all the Tinkerbell movies.
Did you watch Les Mis?
I haven't seen Les Mis,
The 2012 version was amazing.
Princess Bride, favorite movie of all time. Okay. Love Princess Bride.
Talk about Catholic themes and Princess Bride. Go.
Catholic themes in Princess Bride.
They have marriage.
That's the sacrament. That guy's vaguely a bishop, maybe.
Yeah.
She's a bride, bride of the church.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah, it's basically.
They're fighting against evil.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That guy has six hands.
Fingers.
Miracle.
That would be different.
Miracles. Yeah. Miracle Matt.
Those are kind of tenuous, but okay. No, I like it.
He was looking for the six-handed man. I think he would have found him much sooner.
I use that quote from Braveheart fairly regularly where he says, they're all in there squabbling in the great hall about what they're going to do and how, you know, the British are frustrated and these things are going to happen because they took this little fort or whatever. And while they're all arguing, and they say something to William Wallace about what are you going to do, and he goes, I'm going to go sack York. And he's basically saying, like, listen, y'all work your stuff out, I'm going to go do something that's good, and I might fail, and it's going to be virtuous, and it's a good thing to do, and this needs to happen. Yeah. I'm going to go sack York. And that is my one of my personal things I say in my head when I'm like all caught up in the minutiae of things that don't matter, and be like, no, I'm going to go sack York right now. I need to get up and I need to go do the things that should be done anyway.
That's good.
Yeah. And literally sacking York is okay too.
You know, honestly, there's definitely like plenty of bad portrayals we could talk about. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about it. On the whole, I feel like usually Catholic portrayals are done semi-respectfully, unless it's like South Park or The Simpsons.
Surprisingly so, though. I think you're right.
I really do think part of it is that they want to use the Catholic Church as a way to like show like how serious something is.
Right.
Because it's like if it's like a horror movie, it's like you're like, oh, is it really a demon? Like, are we sure that this is like something serious? And then the priest shows up and you're like, oh,
clearly.
Oh my gosh.
They never would have called a Methodist minister over there if it weren't a real demon.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, like youth pastor from like First Baptist.
Everybody's a non-denominational Christian till you get possessed by a demon. All right. Real. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you don't want to like get possessed and then have someone show up and be like, hey, quick, turn on Hillsong United Oceans. That'll take care of it.
But the exorcism movies are like The Rite and The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and even The Exorcist to an extent. Awesome. Yeah, they have really respectful portrayals of Catholics. It's really cool. It's interesting how they dig into that because I think... Personally, because those are real things, right? Yeah. They try to dive into... I don't know if it feels more visceral or if it feels more natural or if it feels more whatever, but because they're dealing with an actual phenomenon that happens, being demons and possession and infestation and all these things, right? Having a priest involved and the Catholic Church involved puts another layer of seriousness on it that we all feel on some level, even if we're not Catholic.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Also, if I was directing an exorcism movie, even if I was completely atheist and this was like a money grab for me, I feel like there's like a good betting sort of thing about like if I'm making a movie about the dangers of hell, maybe like don't just start like dissing on the church completely.
Right.
Just like just in case.
Insurance policy.
Yeah, exactly. Just play it safe.
Hear that? What were you going to say, Thomas?
I was going to change the subject completely.
So. Do it. Let's do it.
Well, there's also a group of movies. I think they're all informed. If you guys have a subscription to that, all the churches give them out pretty much. Mm-hmm. But it's these like Italian, English dubbed saint movies that are all just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. They just do a great job just like telling you the life of the saint. And you get to learn about their life and see like the struggles they went through and different things that happened.
Yeah.
And they're all good.
They're low budget.
They're really good. But they're really good.
It's about putting story over message. Yeah, and we talked about that in the art episode a lot. Yeah. And I think that's a thing that's worth coming back to a lot. When you put the story above the message, if the story is a Christian story that involves virtue and striving towards it, like the message is there. It's gonna get there. Don't try to ham fist God's not dead, you know, kind of a storyline.
I liked God's Not Dead.
But. I think it's the cheesiest thing in the world. Yeah. I think a lot of those are so cheesy. Now, don't get me wrong. I got a copy of Fireproof on my...
I was just thinking Fireproof.
You remember watching that at Youth Group, man?
Yeah.
It's so good. I literally
rewatched it the other day because Grace and I are like, no, watching movies. And then we're like, but if we watch a Christian movie, it's allowed in Lent or an uplifting movie. So Grace and I came home and she's watching Fireproof. And that scene where he like dances with...
Courageous.
That's Courageous. Say, that's
which is a better movie.
Yeah. Courageous is Courageous, not Fireproof.
Yeah, Courageous is better than Fireproof.
Oh,
Courageous,
my
the opening scene of Courageous is amazing.
Oh, when the guy wait, oh, the
like,
train
he like jumps on the car.
Yeah, because the guy tries to take his car and the baby's in there.
No,
yeah.
That's the next scene, right? Isn't it when? Oh no, you're right. That's the first scene. I'm thinking about the scene on
you're
the train track and Fireproof.
Yeah.
They should combine those
they're
movies.
Like the same
they're the same cinematic universe.
But then there's a scene where they have the alien in the bike basket and they're all riding and they get lifted up into the air.
I think that's Flywheel. That's the original show. Of pictures, so. No, but
it's actually ET.
But they're so good. Those movies are so they really are. And but with like with a lot of those Christian movies, you almost have to get over the cheese factor for sure.
Well,
lots
I think
of cheese.
I feel like there's like a new grittiness to Christian movies. Those of you who have seen Father Stew, and it's like Jesus Revolution just came out too, and they're like doing drugs.
I'm
talking about
it.
Sex and Jesus,
what's it about?
It's new.
It's it's about the Jesus movement that happened with the hippies in the 60s and how they all kind of just started randomly getting to know Jesus and praying and it's a beautiful movement.
My mom's boyfriend was like a hippy dippy in college, and he ended up becoming this like super hippie Christian. Wrote a rock opera based on the life of Joan of Arc.
No way!
Like it's
I
really
want to
cool.
see that or hear
That's
that.
Really cool. I know like one. Oh, I was just saying, I know like one of the really big scenes in like Jesus Revolution is like the pastor is there, and they're like everyone's like we don't want the hippies coming in because their feet are dirty and they're gonna make the carpets gross. And so the next morning he's out there washing the feet of all of the hippies
that
they could come in. I was like, dang, that's really
cool. It's based on a true story.
Yeah, it's based on
I do want to clarify that my mother's been married to my father for about 50 years. I was talking about her boyfriend in college, for the record.
I'm glad to clarify.
My parents were in their 70s. They've been happily married since the 70s. Okay.
But the thing about Jesus Revolution and then Father Stew is they're gritty. There's like there's sin.
They're real.
They portray sin. They're real. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's like a new genre that's coming out now. The gritty Christian,
and we need it, right? I really do think that we need it because once again, it's real, and I feel like this is a real thing and not some like happy whatever message. Not to complain about the Remember the Titans; it's a great movie. But
I
one thing that totally
Remember
took me
Titans.
Out of it, Remember the Titans, is when they were in the locker room. I've been in a lot of football locker rooms, and everybody's like, "Oh, heckin' shoot!" Right? There's all this like they're careful with all this because they want their PG rating and everything, which is great. I understand why they did that, but. I'm an adult. Give me a real movie with the Jesus stuff. I like the Father Stew, and there's a lot of cursing and whatever. I'm not going to take my 10-year-old to see it, but it makes me feel like I'm watching real people who are broken like I am, right? All right, and with that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM. Too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, and we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. This is AM 1160 The Quest. Atlanta's Catholic Radio. You're listening to Honest to God. Today, honestly, guys, this episode is brought to you by Thomas's water bottle. Thank you, Thomas. We're rocking and rolling today.
I'm just super thirsty. Sorry.
No, it's great, man. It's great. Cinderella Man. I want to talk about it.
Love that movie.
We're gonna get into some complaints. There's a lot to complain about. In general, right, with Catholic portrayals in movies, but I do want to talk about Cinderella Man. One of my favorite movies. One of my top five movies. Way better than La La Land. And I'm sorry, Ben. I fell asleep and snored through it. Remember? We watched that together.
I know. We also watched Cinderella Man together, guys. The three of us.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, just me, Annie, and Ben.
Uh-huh.
What a great time.
Yeah. No, we did that. That was our so Cinderella Man and Greatest Showman were two of our beach retreat movies that we watched.
Love
because
Greatest
they both
Showman.
Have incredible lessons in them, and it's phenomenal. Once again, it's just virtue, right? Mm-hmm. It's people struggling towards virtue and failing and getting back up and
absolutely.
Getting to it.
Absolutely.
And that's called life, and that's called Christianity, and that's what we're called to in the faith. And I think it's awesome.
You guys want to hear how Cinderella Man made me cry in the first like 10 minutes of the movie.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
I would love that.
So it's the beginning, and so they're struggling. They don't have a lot of food because he's pretty much out of work.
Yeah.
And his daughter's like kind of a little bit more hungry, and she like mentions it.
Yes.
And he's about to eat his food. Yes. And he's like, oh, here, have mine. And she's like, are you sure? And he's like, I'm full, actually.
Yeah, and he says, I had a dream last night. I ate a bunch of food. I can't eat it.
That, right. Yeah. Just,
and it's like a piece of, like, a slice of ham, basically.
Yeah.
Just as soon as he was like, oh, I'm full, I couldn't.
Yeah.
I just, like, I was like, oh, no. My eyes are no longer dry.
I think about that scene all the time. To be honest with you, like, because I'm a father of my own kids. And, like think about, like, I would definitely do that. Like, if it came down to it. It's, like, such a awesome example of manhood. Yeah, thanks for bringing
and
that up.
That was something that I was realizing about fathers in general.
Yeah.
I was talking with my friends, and it's like, so my family, we definitely, like, I know it wasn't easy for my dad. Mo was never, like, terrible.
Right.
But what blew my mind was my dad's telling me something about finally getting, like, paying things back after, like, refinancing the house in, like, the 2008-2009
sure.
thing. Yeah. And it just never, like, occurred to me, like, oh, we were at a point where my parents had to refinance the house to, like, have enough money to keep going. And that's, I was like, dads do that all the time, where kids mm-hmm. just don't realize yeah. that they were poor.
Right.
Because their dad would just work his butt off. But he wouldn't just do that. He'd do that and not make them worry about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and then, like, my friend was telling me, like, he realizes that they were poor because they had the milk that came in bags.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that's what WIC does.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, so many kids didn't realize they were poor just because that's what their dad did.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just blows my
mind.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, it's just a beautiful portrayal, once again, of an imperfect person
yeah.
who mm-hmm. is trying to do the best he can in the right way, right? Even that mm-hmm. time, there's that scene where he has to go and take out money from the, he has to take the handout, right? From,
oh, yeah.
the, from mm-hmm. the city or from the state or whatever it is. Yeah. And then when he makes his money, he goes right back and he
pays it back.
Yeah. It was just cool. Or just a self-sacrifice.
The scene where his son steals the food and he makes him take it back.
Even though they're starving.
Even though they're starving.
Wow.
Yeah. No, there's just so many awesome portrayals of everything. And just as an aside, in case anybody from the Bear family is listening, Max Bear, who's the guy there.
Yeah.
Well, no, but this is serious. His family did a big protest after that movie came out because he's treated as such a jerk. And in real life, and this is like on record with interviews and whatever, he did kill. I think he killed two guys in the ring. And he felt horrible about it and sent all these, like, did everything he could to pay for the medical expenses. They needed a villain for the movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They needed a jerk. But mm-hmm. if you're listening, great-grandchildren of Max Baer, we know he's a good dude. We know here at Honest to God.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. He's so sad, though.
We'd actually love to have his grandkids on the show.
We have him on next week with Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, he'll be here next week, which is pretty exciting. But it's Jeff Goldblum from the early 90s.
Oh,
which well, is that, crazy.
That was a him. Good era. And that
he's a lot harder to book than modern existing Jeff Goldblum. Yeah, lots of work it went into
well,
that.
Well, early 90s Jeff Goldblum was in one of my favorite movies, Jurassic Park,
yeah.
which I think has a really awesome... awesome Catholic message.
I like this just sort of chain of...
And it's honestly, I think it's one of the most important messages or lessons I learned in my life. And I think...
It's okay to eat lawyers. Is that it?
No.
That's the message I got.
It's the lesson that just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
Okay. Mm. I am not joking when I say this. I mean, you're right. That's awesome. I use that quote. I stood up and I gave a presentation in front of a bunch of teachers at a conference or something. I forget where this was.
And you quoted
it. I said, I'm going to quote Dr. Ian Malcolm. He's a doctor of whatever, specializing in chaos theory.
Yes.
And then I read it and I said something along the lines of, you might know him most famously for the incident on Isla Sorna. And then and slowly watching the light bulbs of, he's talking about Jurassic Park.
Disappointing, yeah.
But no, I use that exact line because it illustrates
that point.
And it illustrates the Catholic understanding of bioethics.
Yeah. Too. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a lesson I think, especially, you know, I'm not as afraid of, you know, modern technology as some say they are, but, you know, it's a good lesson as, you know, we're advancing, you know, so many things and coming out with, you know, all these cool new, like, C-3PO and R2-D2 robots.
That was a movie, Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
That's not real.
I did so much research for this program that... But no, just like, you know, as stuff comes out, you know, we just have to keep in mind, like, if just because we can doesn't mean we should.
All right, serious question. Then I want to get into some negative portrayals of Catholicism, Christianity in TV and film. Morally speaking, are we allowed to make dinosaurs come back? Morally speaking, serious question. I want to actually, like, I want to hear the moral discussion on it from a Catholic bioethical standpoint. Can we resurrect extinct species like dinosaurs?
I think so.
My gut answer is no.
My answer is yes.
I don't want to get my answer yet. I want to hear McKinsey's answer first.
Maybe. I would say mine would probably be no.
Okay, argue with JJ. Why? Why do you think JJ is wrong, McKinsey?
I don't know if I can take McKinsey on. She's too convicted.
I'm not.
Don't look directly in her eyes.
Educated on, you know, all of that. But I'm just thinking about, like, I don't know. Well, I guess it's the same thing. Like, if you could do it, is it a good idea? Because I feel like that could affect so much. Okay. Just like in the world. Like, I feel like it just might not be a good idea. But morally,
yeah.
I feel like resurrecting things, I just
can
don't
you bring
know
extinct
idea.
Species back?
I don't know. This isn't the same, but it makes me think of, like, what's it called, where you can, like, pick the perfect genetics for your kid that they're trying to
decide.
Not genocide.
CRISPR?
That's what it is.
Genetic engineering.
Gene editing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but
it's like we could do that, but like we
those
shouldn't.
Those are humans, right?
Those are humans. It's different. But that is something where it's like you're messing with something that, like, God has created. And it's like, okay, the dinosaurs went extinct. Like, that is, like, how it was created. That's how it happened. So
what do you think about, like the fact that they're trying to bring back the woolly mammoth? And right now, all signs point to humans wiped those out. It wasn't, like, a meteor or, like, a
that's
natural
right,
event.
Up top.
We
one
did it.
Species down. Go team.
Meteors are like, this
couple
is
more
propaganda.
That's a joke. I'm not supporting.
So do you think
driving
bringing
species to extinction?
Woolly mammoths back is morally okay?
I just
opposed
feel like
to
we
dinosaurs.
Be...
It's a moral imperative that we breed them back.
Absolutely.
Have you seen
I'm
Ice
totally
Age?
On team.
Have
okay.
you seen
Ice
Age?
Ice Age.
This
we need
is my
life, Ice Age?
Thought, because, like, with animals, like, you know, like, they breed dogs, and some dogs aren't able to breed naturally, like, by themselves, so they have to, like, you know, do that, whatever. So it's like, if those are animals and that's okay, like, that's morally okay, then, like,
and that would be my argument, basically, is that we have to be good stewards over creation, but we do have dominion over the earth and the animals that are on it, right?
Yeah.
And we have to take that seriously. We have to treat them well. Mm-hmm. But I'm 100% on team. We can bring dinosaurs back if we want to.
Interesting. Yeah,
that's my take. But it doesn't mean I'm... it's not doctrinal. It's not in the catechism.
Well, this might take us too far down this, but, like, is that the same as cloning?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, we cloned Dolly the sheep. I don't think we have any sort of a Catholic bioethical issue with cloning animals.
I just feel like that could be, like, a steep slope into, like, cloning people. That's morally wrong.
That's the danger.
Yeah, there's so many things we do to animals that we are not okay to do to people, obviously, right? By virtue of our humanity.
Like,
we eat animals.
That would make it so much easier if you're, like,
almost positive you're not supposed
able
to
clone animals at such a, like, big extent, like dinosaurs from that long ago. I just feel like that would be super easy.
I feel like it's not a good idea.
Depends on which,
like,
dinosaurs
cool.
you pick.
It'd be really cool. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like we're going to have a Jurassic Park situation.
I think big dinosaur has brainwashed you, and we absolutely need to bring dinosaurs back.
You mean Barney?
Barney, I was brainwashed by
all
Barney.
All PSYOP to make us comfortable with these flesh-eating beasts so that we can bring them back.
So Catholic films.
Right. Negative portrayals of the church in Catholic films involving dinosaurs or not, right? Where did they get it wrong? That's what I want to dig into.
So I've got one right off the bat, and it's not simply Catholic portrayals in film, but I think it's Christian portrayals in general. And I just last night finished The Last of Us, which overall...
I did too. I finished it this week.
I thought it was a good show. I thought it...
Except for that one episode out of nowhere. What was that about?
The...
Ron Offerman.
Yep,
where
that one.
Everything was so cool until he and that guy started... Yep. And just...
Yep, mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a kissing scene. It was just out of nowhere and inappropriate.
Yeah, out of nowhere, inappropriate. Kind of ruined the show a little bit. But there's one Christian... There's a Christian pastor in some of the late... In a later episode. And I'm going to spoil the show here. So you... if you
spoiler, like, alert for The Last of Us. Second to last episode, season one.
Season eight. It's you have this preacher character that comes in and he's, like, leading a town, and then it's revealed he's actually this, like, awful person.
Yep.
And that doesn't believe any of the things he's kind of spouting which is interesting that I don't know if that is a bad portrayal of Christianity or if it is a like a portrayal of someone misusing the doctrine of Christianity. Right. And that's what it is, practically speaking.
Well, Rainn Wilson, the guy who he played Dwight on The Office,
yeah,
he called that out and like had a whole tweet about how
about that show
and how the pastor, because I haven't seen the show, but I saw his tweet, like how the pastor being Christian, like he said the moment like he saw the pastor, he like knew that was going to be the villain, and he was talking about how there really is this anti-Christian agenda in Hollywood right now.
Rainn Wilson said that.
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah. I didn't realize that he was.
I thought that's what you were.
I'm sure he's not a religious guy, but that's really interesting.
I don't think so. He definitely called it out.
Well, we're going to have him on the show next week with Jeff Goldblum and from the 90s and whoever else we said we were going to have on. So we'll talk to Rainn about it.
The grandchildren of
Max Baer.
Max Baer's grandchildren.
That's a great
episode. Super interesting. But no, and the first half of that episode, too, I was like, I thought he might be a good guy.
Yeah.
He seemed like a good guy.
He seemed like a generally
and
good fellow.
I thought maybe the line was going to be, well, he's blurring like what is and isn't okay morally for the sake of keeping these people alive.
Right.
And then by the end, it's like, oh, no, he's actually a murderer and a cannibal and a terrible person in 100 other ways.
Mm-hmm. Super, and so
it's our only portrayal of Christians in the show.
It's the only portrayal of Christianity of any kind in the show.
Right.
And so like practically speaking, he in the show doesn't believe anything that he's saying.
Yeah.
He's not doing these things because he's a Christian, but it does paint Christians in a bad light.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
That if this is the way we see them, if we see Christianity as this tool that evil men are using to like get their way, basically,
absolutely,
then that is a detriment to Christian culture in general.
And
yeah,
people who aren't experiencing the Christian faith, that's like their only view
right
of it.
Yeah.
They're going to walk away with those conclusions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like that's how so many people now are sort of their whole experience primarily with Christianity is through the media, right? And so when you just have negative portrayal after negative portrayal, and they're not all like that. Once again, we've gone over some positive portrayals, but I feel like it's becoming more and more prevalent where it is either a neutral non-issue or it is a negative portrayal. It's almost never a positive portrayal of Christianity. Right. Yeah.
Now to go into a positive portrayal of Christians and Catholics that I really enjoy, Daredevil.
Oh, you've been wanting to talk about this for months.
Oh my gosh.
So
I keep bringing this up very, very minorly in Honest to God episodes because I just love the show Daredevil so much. Mostly because of Wilson Fisk as a villain. I think he's just a fantastic villain. But especially in the third season where they start leaning heavily into the Catholic faith. And that being like a major plot point of the character of Daredevil. Because like the first scene that we see Daredevil in, he's in a confessional. And he is
Isn't he a seminarian at one point in the comic books?
I don't know.
I could be wrong. I don't want to.
Probably. That sounds like something would be in the
comic books.
Get a
bunch of DC people upset. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And so throughout the show, like we see parts of, and the reason like Daredevil's big thing is that he won't kill. And they kind of start to reveal the reason he won't kill is because he's Catholic.
Right.
He sees that as like, he will never cross that line. And then we get into the third season and he's considering that. He sees this as his last resort and that God has abandoned him.
Mm-hmm.
And they start tackling all these things. And they, he's like bedridden at one point. And a Catholic priest comes up to him and says, would you like to receive confession and the Eucharist? Like, he can't get out of bed. So like, and I've never seen that before in any kind of film or TV is like offering this as this would be good
last
for
rites.
You. Yeah. And it's showing that what Daredevil is doing, which is pushing all of that away and saying, no, I'm not going to participate in this because God has abandoned me. I have no faith anymore. That is the bad thing to do. And that is distinctly what is being shown. And by the end of it, he has this like reversion almost. That he comes back and he sees, no, this was actually meant to be so that this greater good could come of it. And he has this like this specific, there's one moment, and I don't want to spoil the show, but there's one moment towards the end where he has to like fight that. And you can see that he is this close to going down that dark path, but then he doesn't. And it that is shown as the ultimate good, and it's grounded in his Catholic faith, which is so awesome.
That's
it's
really cool.
A Marvel property, which is like the furthest thing you'd think of modern day Marvel.
Oh, I just call it DC. Sorry.
Yeah, that was way weird.
Yeah.
Can't believe you did that.
Embarrassing, sorry, really.
I'm over it. No, that's really cool. I like that a lot. I
do too, yeah.
I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about positive portrayals, not of Christianity, but going out a little bit, just a virtue. While we were off air earlier, we were talking about Bollywood movies and how awesome they are. Uh-huh. And I think it's primarily because of there's not a political agenda being pushed. Mm-hmm. It's just telling good stories for the sake of telling good stories. You guys haven't seen this, but you've seen RRR, haven't you, Ben?
I haven't. I really need to see it.
I'm going
to
say RRR a lot on the radio, which is a hard thing to say. But it's on Netflix right now, RRR. And it is a Bollywood movie that's just hyper-patriotic Indian movie about them overcoming British colonization and all of these things. And the good guys are such good guys. And you would think that it's cheesy, but there's a few things that I really like. The first thing is, they're both portrayed as virtuous men. They both do virtuous things. They both have to decide whether or not, like, doing something unvirtuous is worth it and ends justify the means kind of thing. It's really interesting to see them work through. And it is, I think, the best portrayal of male friendship in a movie I have seen in forever. They have a whole friendship montage where, they're like growing closer together throughout the whole thing. There's even a scene where one's riding a horse and the other one's riding a motorcycle and like laughing and talking. And if we were to show that today, everybody would be like, oh, somebody struggles with same-sex attraction. Oh, he must have a boy crush, whatever. But there's none of that. That's not even hinted at. It's like, no, this is an authentic male relationship of these guys who really love and care about each other. Mm-hmm. And they have this beautiful male intimacy that you just don't see because there's nothing romantic about it. It's this platonic, loving friendship that they have. Awesome. It's beautiful. Yeah. And you very seldom get to see that anymore.
As a conservative guy on a Catholic show, I will say nothing seems more bigoted than like that automatic assumption that friendship between guys has some sort of like sexual connotation.
100%.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's actually lots of gay people who would agree, because so many people will be like, wow, look at this wholesome relationship these guys have. It's because they're gay. We know it is.
Right. It's got to be. Even in like kids' movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it's so sad because definitely male relationships have not been, I think, have suffered a lot like the past like century, because lots of people have tried, I think because they're so scared of gayness, they're like, guys just can't be friends anymore.
Right.
It's not worth the risk.
Or that friendship has to be so surface level, and there can be no actual intimacy, right? There can be no actual like, hey, I love you and I care about you and I want you to know that, right? Mm-hmm. And that is so broken and so disordered and against everything that we as like a society have been doing. Our civilization, right, is built on a lot of these platonic relationships that are really good and wholesome and have no romantic or sexual element to them. And that's normal and okay, and how the vast, vast majority of our relationships are supposed to be.
Well, if you go back and listen to, or sorry, read like letters of our, you know, the forefathers.
Yeah.
Like Thomas Jefferson, like even when they were playing out the, you know, Lewis and Clark's expedition, mm-hmm. he was really good friends with Lewis, Meriwether Lewis, and they were write letters to each other, and they would express, you know, this is back before they were like inundated with media like I am. Mm-hmm. And so like they would like really take time to write good letters and express their hearts to each other. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't weird to like say like, you know, I care for you, you know, more than anyone these days, right. You know, and like,
I miss you. Yeah. I love you. I'm praying for your well-being. Yeah. I long for the time I get to see you again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is a normal experience that we have with other people. But why can't we verbalize that?
You send me texts like that all the time.
Constantly. Yeah. Dearest Thomas, many a moon has passed since I last gazed upon your face.
And I just send you pictures of the new George Foreman
can't
movie
wait,
trailer.
By the way. I heard that the whole boxing thing is just a very brief, as in the opening credits. It's all about the rise of the George Foreman grill.
It needs to be.
Yeah.
I would
watch the heck out of that movie, actually. Starring a not de-aged, just a regular George Foreman now, but as like a 20-year-old.
Martha Stewart's the villain somehow.
I think that's great. What else? I'm interested, positive or negative, but I would love some negative thoughts if anybody's got one.
I feel like Catholic nuns are portrayed very poorly in films.
A lot of them. Yeah, are you saying now or historically? Like, Sound of Music does a decent job, except for the part where she abandons her vows and marries the guy at the end. But anyway.
Yeah.
I thought she was still a novice.
She was a novice.
Sorry, guys.
I haven't watched that
movie. Mother Superior is like...
What?
No, that's a good message because Mother Superior is like, you have to choose. And then she's like, she was trying to use the convent as an escape
from
her vocation of marriage.
I take it back.
Yeah. It's been a long time since you've seen that. My little brother's one of his favorite movies was Sound of Music.
Mary Margaret, my daughter, is Brigitte in The Sound of Music this year.
Really? That is awesome.
That's so fun.
I didn't read the script, though, so I don't know that's how it goes.
But movies like The Nun, or like...
There's like the horror movie.
Yeah, the horror town. Yeah.
They dress up like nuns.
Yeah, I like...
Oh, yeah, I remember The Town.
I'm trying to think of other movies, but I just feel like, as a whole, nuns aren't portrayed very well. I don't know, maybe...
Well, go ahead. You'll see like a movie where like someone will be dressed up as a nun, like a criminal, and then they'll use that to like break into a...
Are you only talking about The Town?
Or
still?
Especially movies with Ben Affleck.
Yeah, where's a bank robber from Boston.
Did anybody watch the new Batman movie?
I did. Yeah.
They're like singing the Ave Maria like really creepily. Yeah, really creepy. And it's like creepy and it makes your skin crawl and it's like... It's like gross.
It's not religious, literally at all. Like, no, he's in jail, and he just all of a sudden starts seeing the Ave Maria, and it really creeps.
It's like a joke.
Oh,
yeah.
The Riddler. Okay.
And it's it was so gross, and I was like, oh, I don't like this. Like this,
right?
It's the Ave Maria, like one of the most beautiful, like songs ever, and it was just like it was just creepy.
It's almost like a, I don't know, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but like an attempt to stigmatize these beautiful, good things.
Yeah.
And make them negative. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I just finished the movie Ambulance with
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was a great movie. I enjoyed it. It's on Amazon Prime for those of you who want to watch it. And I've seen this in other movies too, is you get to like, there are lots of bad guys in the movie, but you get to like this one, like, you know, South LA, you know, drug cartel and like their base, and it's filled with all these, you know, holy objects that we would find in like a Catholic church, like statues of Mary and images of saints and whatnot, but it's in the bad guys' hideout.
Right.
So it's like, why is it with the bad guys? Like, what are they
trying?
That
goes back a long way, right? I mean, you watch The Godfather and you see all those people being killed while his child's being baptized, and there's all that Catholic imagery tied up with it. Yeah. It is interesting.
I always find that kind of cool though.
It is kind of cool. It feels cool, but it's bad.
Like, yeah,
I don't think it's virtuous and it's good, but I think it's... And I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I think from my perspective, that's coming from a brokenness in me that's saying like, hey, isn't it cool that these guys who are super bad and like powerful and whatever, they've got this. And I don't like that about myself, but I agree. There is something that's attractive in that.
I think for me, I kind of appreciate the fact that I wish that cultural Catholicism and actual Catholicism were intertwined, but I appreciate the fact that there are places with cultural Catholicism. Like I love the idea of, like, I crack up a little bit when my friends are joking about, like, people up in Boston. Just, like, not Catholic at all, but still, like, every week, bless me, Father, for I've sinned.
I left my khakis.
I have a bad ish, I'd say, just like a snippet in a movie. Mm. Have you seen A Quiet Place 2?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Opening scene of The Quiet Place 2. They're in a store, creatures walking outside, and then the guy that gets them killed is sitting there praying a Hail Mary. That's the reason that most people in that store die, is because this dude decided to pray.
The other people die too.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, like, if I'm going to get eaten by a monster that hunts me down based on sound, I think the best way I could die would be praying a Hail Mary. But I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
Like, they're...
I don't want to get you killed too, Ben.
Yeah. They're using kind of the framing to blame this guy. And it's a powerful, I guess, image in the movie, that this person out of desperation is trying to like do this thing that we see as, you do this when you think everything else has failed. This is your last resort to make everything better. But it in fact is the thing that makes you die.
Right. Don't pray, because it's going to kill people. Yeah.
That might be too on the nose.
Yeah, maybe not that, but
that's what I'm reading from. No,
you know what that makes me think of? Y'all know the old War of the Worlds?
Yes.
The old one?
Yeah.
There's one scene where the priest, I think, or it might be a pastor, but he's like walking like towards the aliens, I think, like got his Bible out, and he's like, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah. That was kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
I kind of like it when it's like baseline of like you don't know if they're being crazy or faithful, and it's the movie's not picking one or the other,
right.
But you just see it.
Yeah,
there is something, and I keep using the word cool, and I don't love that word because I have a hard time defining it, because it doesn't mean good necessarily. But there are these connotations that I have with it that are hard to express, but that is objectively cool about those Catholic images in particular. I have many times when I'm having a bad day gone on YouTube and pulled up the scene from Kingdom of Heaven where the army of Jerusalem arrives to fight the Saracen hordes led by Saladin. And it's this amazing scene where you have Jerusalem that is still Catholic in the background, and this giant army of tens of thousands have been marching out, and this giant gold cross that these guys are carrying at the front of the army. Ooh. While you hear this like sacred music being sung from the, it's amazing. And that's, it really cool. Is this, I mean, it stirs your heart in ways that we talked about this when we were doing the art episode, but all of the imagery and the fact that the Catholic Church says, like, no, we're corporeal beings and we like physical things, and that's okay. The imagery, the music, the smells, the bells, all of that, that does affect us in a way. And I think that's kind of a nice way to put a bow on the whole conversation with Catholic portrayal in movies and television and whatnot. You, like, we connect with these images of our faith that are good, that can be good or bad, and the connotations that we receive are good or bad, and we do have to be careful in how it's depicted and what we're seeing and what we're showing others, because you can definitely get tied up in the cool stuff with the cartels or the gangsters in the old mob movies or whatever, and like have this, there's almost this draw to it.
Yeah, and where you start rooting for the bad guy,
right,
to win.
And that's disordered.
Yeah, disordered. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, guys. Unfortunately, that is the end of the radio portion of our show. If you'd like to hear the rest of this episode and more great content from Honest to God, be sure to head over to YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, where you can hear this and more of the great stuff that we're putting out. We'll see you there.
This has been Honest to God. What's on your mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.